Well, good evening and welcome to Off Planet Radio Live. I'm Randy Moggins. It is Friday night, January the 29th. Yeah, January is almost out of here. Coming up on Groundhog Day for you people who want to prognosticate the weather by small furry animals. And we are on the flight deck lifting off from the east coast of the United States, the frozen substrate of planet Earth, heading into geosynchronous orbit on this program tonight. This is going to be, I think, one of those shows that kind of sets the pace for the way things go. Just a brief couple of comments. First off, on the websites, offplanetradio.com, and going out with all of these shows is going to be a link for an Indiegogo campaign for my friend George Ann Hughes. Some who don't know, George Ann Hughes is a world-renowned broadcaster, podcaster, who has done The Bite Show since the late 1990s. And she became ill and was sent home at the new year with the attendancy of hospice with bone cancer. And we didn't give up on her. She didn't give up on her. And we're working with alternative treatments. The Indiegogo campaign is designed to raise the funds that are needed to help pay for the treatment that she is receiving, and also to help pay for her expenses to live in the meantime. Georgia Ann has always been self-supporting, and she did so through her broadcast. And now I need to reach out to you, the listeners, to my fellow broadcasters, podcasters, and those of you who are part of the truth disclosure movement. This is a time to reach out. So those links will be on the websites. They'll be in the meme that goes out with all of these shows. And I would just ask you to prayerfully consider what you can do substantially to help George Ann Hughes in this time. And I'm going to not do a whole bunch of preview comments tonight, because I want to give my guest tonight a lot of space, because there's a lot of material to be covered. We're in the time right now, and a lot of people sense it, where we are in transition. And this is decision point for planet Earth. And many people have sensed, probably since 2012, that things have shifted, things have changed, and that even as the, we'll call them the cabal, the ruling elite, have ramped up their game and continue to try to keep us down, the people that are waking up, and they're like tiny coals that are shooting embers off and waking up other people. It's the 100th monkey effect, the groundhog effect. What's the weather like this year? Well, we're waking up, and a lot of us are pretty pissed off about it. And so with that, I want to introduce my guest tonight. He is a truth researcher who is passionate about revealing to others what he himself has discovered regarding the hidden truths on planet Earth, as well as the intergalactic scale. He is also an actor, author, producer, director, and a music composer who recently fulfilled the role of a UFO extraterrestrial consultant for the director and producer of a feature film. He directed 50 weekly TV shows with the theme Exploring Your Spiritual Life and Spirit in Washington State. And he has also previously written the Parallel Time trilogy. Tonight he is here to discuss the Ceres agenda, that's S-E-R-E-S, and if you're on the webpage, you can see that, the Ceres agenda. And we want to welcome to the show our guest tonight, R. Scott Lemriel. Scott, good evening and welcome to Off Planet Radio.
Good evening, Randy. Good to be here. Looking forward to it. I think it will be an experiential show for many listeners, wherever they might be.
And that's the point of all of this. You, in my reading of the Saber's agenda and in talking to you, you're not about just putting out research or putting out speculation. You very much are committed to the idea that people should experience the things that you're saying, and that they should become part of their ongoing growth of consciousness.
That's absolutely correct. That's why I do what I do. I don't do it for fame or fortune. I'm sure most people in the world don't know that I exist yet. The few that do that have read the book or at the International UFO Disclosure Conference I've been to, like the one in Norway recently, or different radio shows, certainly they know about what this work is. And I correspond with these people, Randy. When they contact me through my website, through the visitor comments and email contact page, then I write back to them when they have questions about the book or ask a spiritual question or something about a technique about how to wake this stuff up. I respond to them personally, and after that, they have my direct email.
And that's really what needs to happen, the interaction at the person-to-person level. That's kind of what I try to do with this show. It's a daunting task, and some people know that I'm awfully slow getting back to them, but we're sharing information that's vital for people to understand. Scott, I kind of introduced this with the idea that we are now in the critical threshold where people are waking up. But, you know, even the waking up process, the process of consciousness expansion, awareness, it's painful, it's lonely, and a lot of times many of us are left wondering, what do we do now that we know this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I was inspired to write this book with the guidance and help from friends from very far out of town. I mean that literally. Human beings, benevolent, loving, masterful human beings from other world systems. Most of the masters that people think of and what is little known of our actual history on this planet have come from other world systems. And in my explorations and experience, I discovered quite shockingly many years ago that human beings did not evolve on this planet originally at all. No human being originated here or came from monkeys or the primordial swamp of the oceans of this world. So the real history of this planet and the real history off-world has been hidden from people here, which you know well.
Yeah. And where I want to go with this is first off to get a little bit about your own background and how you came into the experience and the knowledge that you're sharing. First off, the Sayrus Agenda, which is written as a work of fiction, but is in fact, I would say, embedded with a tremendous amount of information that readers will get as they go through the book. But it is based on a body of truth that you yourself have been aware of for a very long time.
Yeah, it's actually not a fiction book. It's written in the, I think most people would read it and say, oh, this is written like a novel. A novel in most people's minds is fiction. And I had this conflict to deal with before I published the book about how to come out with this information. I didn't want it to be a book like so many books out there based on, you know, UFO researchers discussing other people's experiences and putting out books. I wanted it to be something that is entirely based upon my own direct experience with what I reveal in the book. So when I talk to people in person or on radio shows like this, I make sure I let them know that I'm a hidden truth researcher. And that means that I only talk about that which I've experienced personally. And so the book is really, this is what I would say, the book is fictional only to the degree that the names of characters and locations of certain events have been altered to protect the innocent masses on this planet until a coming, unexpected, uplifting worldwide transformation is more openly underway.
So let's start with a little bit of, again, your own discovery, waking up. How did you come to be who you are today?
When I was a child, very young, I had a most profound out-of-body experience when I was 5. And it was profound because when I left my body, I suddenly found myself to be a fully mature, ancient, adult, human type of consciousness, not the little child's consciousness. And at that time, I began to remember lifetimes I had had long ago, several millions of years ago, in one of 5 different colonization episodes that have taken place on this planet from benevolent extraterrestrials. They're not the only ones that have established bases here. But in my case, going back far into the past, at one point I was the head of a space fleet that came here and colonized and placed human beings here and plant and mammalian life from a number of other worlds. It was kind of an experiment. We knew that the poles of this planet would flip overnight 180 degrees about every 100,000 years, which have been six ice ages in 600,000 years on this planet. So that when that event occurs, and it's unique in this way, most life on the surface is destroyed. It has to be reseeded or recolonized. And this goes back to an off-world treaty between races, but this started me off. When I had this experience, my parents were on the porch of a little brick house in Salt Lake City in Utah, and I was 5 years old, and they were having what people would call a normal human argument, not violent, just disagreeing, and I could see the electromagnetic fields around their bodies, the auric fields or the colors of their aura, and I could tell that there was no energy exchanging between them. There was kind of a red shield between them, and red sparks were coming off that, to me, were very painful. What this triggered in me was I looked up out of my body as a spherical energy form being that I knew I was, and I saw a large golden transparent ball or sphere, maybe, I don't know, 6 feet across, and inside it were geometric formulas, mathematical equations. And I looked up and I could see the star patterns, the astronomical star patterns from my position on Earth. And I said to myself, Earth, what am I doing on Earth? Startling. I didn't expect to be here. This was not what I thought I should end up. That experience closed down. I had to live with in life and grow up like anyone else. And later, when I was living in near Mount Rainier, in a place called Cherry Crest, up on a mountain forested hilltop near Bellevue in Washington State, I was about 11 years old. And I decided that I wanted to know what beer tasted like because I wanted to know what this phenomena was of my parents drinking alcohol, which they did. So I got up at 3 in the morning one night, snuck into the fridge, grabbed a can of beer, snuck out the window, walked across the dew-laden grass up to the narrow roadways that wound between our homes at that time, about 3 in the morning, crystal clear night sky, beautiful stars. And I popped the can of this beer, wanting to find out what this was about. The next instant, I was laying on my back, spread eagle, with that can opened in my left hand, upright, unspilled. And I was looking at a disc-shaped craft, maybe 30 feet wide, maybe 50 feet above the top of a telephone pole, another 15 feet from me, very near. And it was pulsating from blue to white light, no sound. I experienced a communication from what I knew somehow was a benevolent extraterrestrial human being, not from this world. And there was a telepathic communication that began to ensue that lasted about 15 minutes. All I can say is that a lot of information was transferred to me that I could not have dealt with at that time. I wouldn't know what to do with it. This went on for about 15 minutes. There was no fear, no trauma, nothing frightening. It wasn't an abduction experience. And then the craft pulsated from blue to white light faster and faster and shot up into space. I got up, untraumatized, calm, somehow more mature beyond my years, looked at this beer, dumped it out, threw the can in the garbage can, got back into bed and went to sleep. I told no one. About a week later, when I was coming home from a choir practice at dusk, a school bus would take me a mile and a half up this hill and drop me off at a wooden bus stop shed. I was the only one on the bus at that point. Everybody else had been dropped off. I got off the bus and watched the bus drive down the other side of the hill for about a mile and a half till it disappeared in the trees. I took one more step, and my head was pulled up by some, and I mean this, a benevolent force. There was no trauma or fear in this experience. And I was looking up maybe 10,000 feet in the atmosphere at dusk, and there were two groups of these same saucer disc-shaped craft in two triangular formations, 15 in each. And there was this same experience of a benevolent human extraterrestrial in some kind of telepathic communication with me. And then they broke apart and did these incredible acrobatics that many people would love to see on Earth. Seen them in some science fiction films, I'm sure. That kind of thing. But they did this for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes and then regrouped. And then they just, both triangular formations just kind of nodded towards me. That's the only way of describing it. And then shot up into space. I went home. I told no one. I didn't tell my mother, my father, my siblings. It was probably a wise thing because at that time, there were massive UFO sightings taking place around the planet, and particularly around Rainier. This was at a time when there was a person flying a Piper Cub that took video of a squadron of these craft and coined the phrase flying saucer. So that was where I was at the time when this was taking place. And as I went on through life, by the time I was 20, I had many out-of-body experiences, and I had more contacts with benevolent extraterrestrials, mostly benevolent in my case, fortunately. And by the time I was about 21, not quite 21, I went on a road trip with a friend and his wife and their new baby. We wanted to do a kind of a spiritual journey through the American Southwest. And we were traveling maybe at 2, 3 in the morning, something like that, on a clear, star-filled night, no moon, in the desert highway going across the Salt Lake Flats towards Salt Lake City on one of our journeys. And the radio station that these friends liked to listen to was country music. I didn't mind either way. It wasn't my favorite, but they liked it. And suddenly the radio station started blurring through channels by itself and then locked on a frequency where we could hear the communication taking place between the commander of an Air Force base nearby and two Black Hawk helicopter pilots. It was the strangest thing. And I got this communication from a benevolent human being again that said, I want to show you something. I told my friends it was taking place. We pulled off to the side of the road. And he said, I want you all to see something. I said, what's your name? He said his name was Manka. Very strange name. And I told my friends about this, and their baby was asleep. They leaned out the front window, and I did with them, and we looked up into the night sky. He says, I want you to look out over the desert. Just look up into the night sky. So we did. We could hear this commander of this base ordering these Black Hawk helicopter pilots to track down something that they had picked up on radar. The next instance, maybe 15,000 feet up, the sky lit up with cobalt blue light. There was a beautiful oval sphere of light that just lit up the desert. And then it shot straight into the ground, vanished as if it was crashing. And we could hear this commander yelling at these pilots to get the you-know-what over there and find out what this was, which they did. They couldn't detect it on radar. They could find no wreckage. And then the radio station blurred back to the country station. We looked at each other, smiled, and continued on our journey into Salt Lake City. These are some of the things that started me on this journey. Most of that time, from the five-year-old period until my young adult life, I had had a number of very conscious out-of-body experiences to meet with these beings, because I became aware that a normal human being on another planet is telepathic. They have a photographic memory. That's all of them. They live at least 1,000 years. Not like this 80 to 90 or 100 if you're lucky on this planet. And they, in their cultures, their children are born and raised in an environment that encourages them to clearly understand their ability to leave their body. So they grow up in their societies, on the benevolent world systems out there, knowing their other lives and other worlds and cultures, and knowing how to communicate with each other and what they are that isn't physical. This is a normal human planet. So I had to deal with understanding this as I was going through my 20s and 30s. And when I reached 30, I began to have a series of experiences dealing in more profound nature with the way beings are on other world systems, good and bad. And what I discovered was that out in one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy alone, in what they call the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds, because it's interdimensional, many parallel all dimensions involved, mm-hmm. that they can traverse in their craft, and they have trade and harmonious relationships. In that one quarter of the Milky Way galaxy alone, there's over 450 million highly evolved, intelligent, spacefaring races. That's a lot. And people on Earth have been kept completely in the dark about this, and they have a right to know. They should know. So the dilemma I had when I went through another 30 years of training and experience before publishing this book, The Sayrays Agenda, about a race known as the Sayrays, which is a benevolent extraterrestrial race, the most ancient of them, in Andromeda, Milky Way, and a number of other galaxies. They helped bring into existence human beings, humanoid beings, a reptilian bipedal race, and many other races that evolved to be spacefaring races. They helped bring in most of the mammalian and plant life in galactic history over a billion years ago, helped them get established, and then vanished. They were 18 to 24, 25, 26 foot tall human beings. Our double-stranded DNA is patterned after theirs. In other words, we're their offspring, really. And so when I started writing this book, I had had contact with an ambassador of the Sayrays race named Torellian. This actually occurred. And I began to experience what it is like for a human being to get off world and look at this world from the perspective of a human being that's never been trapped here, or manipulated or misused by a hidden cabal, or misused extraterrestrial technology, etc. Mm-hmm. And they have a very, very different viewpoint of life. These are normal human beings than we do here. And you really can't blame people. I mean, what's been done to people here has been done to them intentionally, without their permission or awareness.
So what
that started me writing. So
what has been done to us? I mean, it's apparent that we have, first off, our genetics are apparently switched off on some level. We've heard about the junk DNA that came out of the mapping of the human genome, but most mainstream scientists have failed to explain the potential inside of this so-called junk, and most of us suspect that these are in fact another strata of our own genetic development.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Long ago, I don't ask people to take my word for what I share, and I won't do this on your program, but what I will do on this program later on is I will share with them and demonstrate for them how to safely explore purposefully hidden truth, on a grand cosmic multidimensional scale, and the much greater knowing of the expanse of love within it. And there's a way to do that safely on Earth, no matter what negative power is in control or what power they think they have. So we'll get into that. Let's see, what was your question? I'm sorry.
Basically, it had to do with the switched off DNA and what you understand about that, how that happened, was this a design element?
No, I'd have to go into a little bit of galactic history, if I could, briefly.
No, we have plenty of time, believe me.
This galactic history, imagine, if you will, being in this galaxy 500,000 years ago. Just do it. People have imaginations. They can do it. They see TV programs promoting parallel dimensions and stargates into other worlds, and all this stuff exists among some races out there. Or people couldn't write about it here. It's another mystery we can get into, how that occurs. And on a world, a human world, at that time, there was a galactic war that occurred in our galaxy 500,000 years ago. And a tyrant bipedal reptilian race was defeated after a number of worlds were basically annihilated. It was a very destructive war. The treaty that came out of that basically made it possible for there not to be another galactic war, but a kind of cold war has been going on between the predominant number of mostly benevolent extraterrestrial races out there and a number of totalitarian regimes that also operate in space that have decided that dominating of the races was their way of living. They conquered a human world where scientists had developed a technology to make sure that human beings never acquired a subconscious mind. In other words, if someone had a traumatic near-death or death experience and came back to life and had something happen that would have twisted their psyche for the rest of their lives, this technology would take them into the level that would normally be suppressed, bring it to the surface, project it on a screen, and allow the person to objectively witness this trauma safely, and then simply turn it into a memory. So the energy is used in a way that doesn't suppress the consciousness of a person. Mm-hmm. This race conquered this planet just before the end of this war, and they caused the scientists there to create, they forced them to create or twist this technology in the opposite direction. In other words, they created a system for implanting people with terrorizing control images in a subconscious realm they're not aware of, basically in their electromagnetic field that surrounds their body, using a low-frequency carrier wave. And what these terrorizing images do, they could be death and torture, anything like this, they're artificial. They don't actually happen to the people that are being implanted, but they're used in this way. They're set up so that the energy that suppresses them gets stimulated when a person tries to find out the depth of their being, the higher faculties they've already had developed long ago in galactic history. And it plays across their nervous system with the visual and sound occluded, which means people just feel the experience, but they don't see or hear it. It's very clever because you're not aware of it, yet it can guide and influence people to do the bidding of a tyrant race. Now, this is something that took place out in our universe, our galaxy, a long time ago. But the effects of it and the misuse of this technology are taking place on this planet today. Everything that's happening on this planet, every single last thing, is influenced in one way or another by either benevolent or malevolent extraterrestrial races. The treaty that they signed, Earth is part of that treaty. Earth is like a Switzerland. It means that no one race can dominate or control this planet, and no one race has been able to do that. But if you know anything about tyrant races, they will do whatever they can with the huge vanity and ego they have in clever ways to try to manipulate getting control of another piece of property for its resources just short of going to war. I would have to state accurately that the former Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States was a manifestation on Earth of extraterrestrial influences still conducting this kind of Cold War. And the genomes on the DNA, aside from the implant technology, the race, tyrant races on or off world, know how to use low frequency carrier waves to shut down certain genomes on the DNA. Many people have been incarnating here life after life, unaware of where they came from originally, why they're here, where they're going. That's a good majority of mankind today. That is not a normal state for a human being. People think it is, but it isn't. As you pointed out, that recently scientists here mapped out a billion plus genomes on the DNA, correct?
Right, right.
Okay. Each one of those genomes is activated by a precise frequency. If you know what that frequency is, you can turn off or on a genome in the DNA of a human being or any being. It's really just a more advanced understanding of the molecular nature or the science of matter. If they want to control a race to be a workforce, they shut down three basic areas. One, longevity. The tall grays you may have heard about live at least 800 to 1,000 years. So the short grays. These are extraterrestrial races that are basically dominated by a more powerful tyrant, totalitarian, imperialistic extraterrestrial race. If the genomes on the DNA of a human being are shut down for longevity, you shut off their ability to have a normal functioning of 100% use of their brain and have a photographic memory down to 6 to 10% so that people can't access their higher faculties. And you also disconnect for the most part, their telepathic ability to communicate with beings out in the universe and anywhere in the multidimensional creation, which human beings have a normal ability to do. Which means they are able to plug into the omnipresent living force in this universe and determine hidden truth of any kind with knowing certainty for themselves. But if you shut that down and you have a slave culture of people you've captured, let's call it human, and you bring them to Earth and you are allowed under treaty to have a pocket, a small area of planetary base in secret, underground or in mountains or wherever, under the water, on this planet. Both benevolent and malevolent races are allowed to share in scientific research on this planet, but they weren't supposed to mess with the surface inhabitants. So, if you bring a number of people here as slave workers to do your mining for you, then if the poles change and the place is destroyed, tyrants will just simply leave those people behind because they're expendable. These beings are not respecters of human beings at all. They look at us with less respect than we would look at a cow you want to eat. And this is a fact. The way they work through races that they have some influential control over to do their dirty work for them, like the short grays and abducting people, or the tall grays. Because that way they're never caught red-handed breaking this treaty themselves, even though what we would call the good guys have monitored every abuse they've ever done. And when this comes down to it, people will say, well, why don't the good guys come here, right, and change this planet?
That's what I've been asking.
They want to do this, and they're in the process of doing it. That's why I wrote this book. This took a very long time amongst races off-world, because they normally don't like to intervene in real free will of races on any planet. However, it recently came to their awareness more fully because they went through their own higher consciousness uplifting change themselves about responsibility to the younger races in the universe that they didn't really have before. And they came to the conclusion after they received a certain tool they didn't have before that they had a responsibility to finally liberate this planet and its people. This is really big stuff because it took a long time for them to come to the point where they begin to act. They're going to intervene in this planet. They already are because it's quite clear that human beings on this planet no longer have the free will they think they have. Which means it's not a fair playing field. Which means if they do nothing, tyrants will end up annihilating this place as they have in other worlds when they're kicked out by force. So you can't come down here and start blasting away to get rid of the tyrant leaders or the extraterrestrial races that now have influential control over them. And they do. So the way you do it, you have to do it in a way that can benevolently neutralize the implants, even in the tyrant races, that were placed in them even longer ago in galactic history to compel them to go out and be terrorizing forces in the universe. It means that the beings that are doing these tyrant things on Earth, hidden government members, elected people, tyrant extraterrestrial races, are not in control of what they're doing. Because if they were, they wouldn't do it. You or I or your listeners, if somebody came up to you and said, look, I'll give you $1 billion, Lemriel, right now, tax-free, if you get in one of these planes and drop chemtrails on some people on one of these cities. And I would say no, and I wouldn't do it. And neither would you.
Right.
But the people who do it no longer have control over how they think and what they do in the way they think they do. And they do this without giving it a second thought. So what you've got on a planet here are a combination of several sources of human life. Each race that's on this planet today, and this is what I've learned from them, has come from a planetary system where that particular race and religious characteristics are dominant over their entire world system. For instance, take a Buddhist or a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim. Take a Hispanic, a Caucasian, Arabic, Japanese, Chinese, these different races, these subtle genome differences in characteristics in skin color, slanted eyes, or whatever, you have different heights. And these different cultures on this planet didn't evolve here out of our primordial past. they are representative of races on their worlds that the entire planetary race is like that. And they were either captured as political prisoners at one time or other, put here and left behind, and over the different cycles of the polar shifts that have happened to this planet and destroyed the surface time and time again, which is unique to this planet, by the way. These races who would survive these catastrophes, maybe several thousand, were basically cast back into a very primitive age. Plus, new people were brought both by good guys and bad guys to do their mining or their work for them here. And then intermarriages occurred, and you've got a gene pool now on this planet that has three basic functions shut down that should not be. Telepathic function, photographic memory, using 100% of the brain we have 100% of, for crying out loud, and being telepathic, being able to speak with vocal cords, and being able to communicate with each other through holographic memory that is impossible to misunderstand. You start doing speech, you know, working with just words and shutting a person down to where all they can communicate with is voice. They're very easily restimulative, very easy to control them through the implant system. And that's done through the satellite system, by the way. People that are doing this to their own people on this planet are carrying out a philosophy and an agenda which is not human, number one. And the people doing it aren't even really that aware that they're carrying out an imperialistic, totalitarian, extraterrestrial agenda. And this is all coming to a head. It means that all this diabolical stuff that's been done to people here has been more carefully recorded by benevolent forces for a very long time than the negative elements even understand. They have more power and technology. They could defeat them in a day out in the universe or here on Earth. But if they did that by force, the nature of this race, because they're hidden in certain bases underground here and embedded in the military-industrial complex, then they would set off a device they brought here, a single barrel-shaped bomb that would blow this planet apart. The planet travels around the sun in our solar system at quite a tremendous speed. If it was blown up, the forward momentum of that speed would elongate the rubble into an asteroid field that would continue to circle that sun, just like it does between Mars and Jupiter, where the asteroid field is here in our solar system. That was once a planet that was blown apart 6 million years ago here. This history is common knowledge outside of this planet. The people on the planet have no clue. Their own planet, they don't know the history of it. They don't know the history of where they came from. Nobody originated here, so we're all basically extraterrestrial in nature, in our origins. We didn't even originate in the physical universe on other planets. We come from much higher dimensions originally.
Right.
And we're destined to return to those higher dimensions to become trusted, fully conscious, co-creators with the source behind all life, what extraterrestrial benevolent races refer to as prime creator, called the supreme being, call it whatever you want. They access this living, omnipresent force that underlies all planets, all worlds, parallel and higher dimensions, that sustains and supports all of it. It is beyond good and bad. It doesn't have really anything to do with evil, but it supports all life. It's a universal energy, and human beings are made out of this same thing as an individual atom of the prime creator or the source. Our true form, separate from this physical body, is spherical in nature. It's made up of energy, and it is capable of getting in or out of bodies and experiencing the universe on a number of levels simultaneously. You're familiar with, Randy, aren't you, like the astral, causal plane, mental plane, all this other stuff?
Yes, sir.
The astral plane, the next plane up from here, is not that much more evolved than the physical reality. You can call it a higher parallel dimension. And it's a plane of emotion. It means that when we feel something in this plane, we're not feeling it from our physical body at all. We're getting it from a body in a form and a personality that we as a single soul are running on that plane. We get our emotions from there. You go up another plane, you get into the mental, causal and mental plane. We get our mental abilities, reasoning and wisdom from another plane. And it's channeled down through the physical form, through the brain that we have.
It's basically non-local phenomenon.
Exactly. And what it is if you can shut down a person's memory that they are a multidimensional being, meaning that they have physical forms operating on a number of levels at once, that they as a single individual are running. If you can block the awareness of the channel between those different parts of yourself, you can control someone. It means tyrant extraterrestrials off-world understand what soul is. They're not ignorant of it, but they like to trap and control it in or out of bodies. One of the primary implants that's put into human beings is this. Incarnate on this world from life to life with occluded memory of all that came before, life after life. If you do that and you put people here as a political prisoner, you don't need guard towers. You don't need ships and weapons guarding these prisoners because they'll compulsively reincarnate here and they won't remember anything.
Well, you basically anticipated what was going to be my next question because I wanted you to explain the implants themselves. We know, for instance, that there are physical implants that have been located. Dr. Roger Lear did some of that work. We have physical implants in regard to people who have been through black ops projects, basically. But these implants operate on another scale completely. Can you kind of explain the implants, what they are, and how they function?
I can tell you exactly what I know to be true without a shadow of a doubt. But I can only share this with people if they have, with the understanding that I observed and experienced and acquired this awareness with the aid of beings from other worlds who showed me this. So I can share it with people. Think about it this way. This would go back to a time of Eisenhower as president of the United States. I won't get into the details of that because we can do it in the second half or something. But he basically was a president who met with two types of ETs, benevolent and malevolent. A lot of people don't know about the benevolent one, but they don't know about the malevolent ones he met with under treaty. This is the one he made a treaty with, and he was blackmailed into it. So was the Soviet Union at the same time, at the same moment. But they didn't know that was going on in each country. These are the same beings that provided the off-world technology to build nuclear weapons, breaking an off-world treaty to do it, that got in bed with the German Nazi SS scientists, highly dedicated Nazis, like Wernher von Braun, who was pardoned after World War II and didn't put in the head of NASA and classified. They brought with them, the Russians got part of the science, we got part of it. They split up the technology. But what they didn't know was what came with those scientists was the same link to the same race. So the ability to suddenly gain the understanding of how to create nuclear, atomic, and hydrogen weaponry, radioactive deadly isotopes, imbalance in isotope, create nuclear reactors. These kinds of things, Randy, are outlawed outside of this planet. No one's allowed to build to create a radioactive isotope because if it gets out of its lead container, it kills everything. There's no constructive use for them. There's no such thing as a constructive use for a hydrogen bomb. There just isn't. And the power source that they use and the healing that they do has nothing to do with nuclear or fissionable energy. They use more of a zero-point kind of energy. They plug into the end of the universe, create devices that channel it through the device to power things, comes out the other end without polluting or actually even using energy. It's amazing. So they don't work with that kind of technology. The only outcome for using any kind of nuclear technology is destructive, period. There's just no other avenue it can go down. So you have a nuclear power plant, the walls are breached, or they blow up like Fukushima, you're going to have a terrible disaster that would kill all life on this planet and would have had our friends from out of town not recently neutralized that radiation And in the second half, if you don't mind, I'd like to get more into that.
Yeah, I would too.
Because I want to provide some actual proof, some actual things that we have done, friends of mine and I, to test and have tested in labs radiation that hit the West Coast measured at 60 rads from the Fukushima disaster and other places in the world that were recently neutralized in the oceans a few months ago. So that's something important for people to know. This movement to transform this planet is underway, and from what I'm told, it's irreversible, which means the extraterrestrial races outside this planet now have a new tool that will allow them to unaberrate or unimplant the tyrant races. So the problem is bigger than just coming down here and transforming and uplifting this entire planet. That's easy. The technology amongst these races collectively to do that, to heal all disease, to turn on your genomes that were shut down, to help you get out of your bodies in and out and recover, that's easy pie stuff for them. That's not the issue. The issue is how to do this off-world where the problem originates and from classified hidden behind-the-scenes places on this planet and amongst hidden leaders and do it in the most safe, undestructive manner. That's what has taken so long for this to begin. So the Savior's agenda, as you know, goes into revealing where and how far up the scale of dimensions this new ray I talk about, woven into this special vibratory word hue, came from. The first place it touched was the Say rays. I remember telling you it vanished some time ago.
Yeah.
They kind of set everything up and then left and said, you're on your own. They recently went through their own spiritual consciousness further evolution because this ray was presented to them in a certain form. And it affected their consciousness in such a way that they realized they had a responsibility to not place themselves above the rest of the races that are in existence, but to help them get moved beyond this thing we call evil, revenge and hatred and karma. And so when they discovered that in themselves, they first contacted over 5,000 representatives of 450 million world systems in one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy. And that when this ambassador appeared before them, they were so uplifted and so changed by it, they instantly knew that they had to start to solve these problems because what they experienced gave them the consciousness to know how to go about doing it without going to war. In other words, you don't go and blast the reptilians and the greys, into oblivion. These are sore losers. And if they lose a planet or property they're trying to take illegally, they try to destroy everything on their way out. And so this goes back to the way to do it in a safe way. So in the Saber's agenda, I do reveal how this came about and the way they gently go about contacting human beings on Earth and helping them to get set free from these implants. I've gone through this process myself to some degree. I have more to go through like many people on Earth. I'm not done. It's a work in progress like this book. But I can tell you that the implant removal process is real. They know what they're doing. They know how to do it. And they know how to do it safely. It's not easy for a huge force of benevolent extraterrestrials to land a craft on this planet, to pick up the very worthy many millions of people who would like to get on board a craft and have a ride and wake up. And the reason for that is there are conflicting forces here, both off-world and hidden in a classified system. And they monitor the movement of craft in or out of this planet. So for a craft to come down and pick you or I up, the logistical operation to do that and get you maneuvered out somewhere telepathically in a desert location or someplace and pick you up, take you off, and bring you back, it's way more difficult to do that safely than people might imagine. But that's changing too. In the near future, a lot more people on this planet are going to be having some most profound experiences in their dream state at night, during the day, during exploratory meditations or contemplations with the hue, which I'll reveal on your show tonight, how to do it, they're going to be starting to have things happen that are just going to be absolutely amazing. And I can tell you that the way this is unfolding, the hidden cabal, the hidden tyrants, the hidden elitists, the off-world tyrants that run them, do not have any power or technology in the universe that can prevent or alter or stop what's coming. That's something that I've been telling people for years, Randy, that at the end of the Mayan calendar, which ended on December 21st, 2012, began a new calendar. And to the Mayan shamans who know how to read their own calendar and pass down the lineage from generation to generation, it's a very accurate astronomical calendar. They know, and this I quote, is what they say, actually, the end of their calendar means. And it never had anything to do with a biblical Armageddon. They say they do not know what form it will take, but they do know that what is taking place now is the beginning of the end of evil as an experiment on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I knew, I was on coast to coast, you know, May of last year. And George asked me a question about this calendar, and you know, I had been telling people for years nothing was going to happen, and he was looking forward to some traumatic event happening on this planet, as many people rightly think they should. You know, they think that there's some kind of tremendous event going on. They look for it as an Armageddon or the end of the world. Yeah.
Well, we basically had to almost start a support group for people who were disappointed when things didn't blow up on December 21st. I mean, it was almost unbelievable how badly people wanted some sort of slam bang event.
That's right. But that's the implants talking, Randy. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to happen. We're never going to have a nuclear war on this planet. This is a big step I'm making tonight. Why? Because the really benevolent beings out there have done a little bit of intervening since World War II here in countering the negative manipulations of an extraterrestrial race. 12 times during the Cold War with the former Soviet Union, both countries at one time or another pushed the button to actually annihilate this planet. So it was never disclosed. It's classified, one of the most highly classified things. And they didn't want to tell people, frighten them to death. What? We pushed the button? Yeah. And in each case, there are witnesses to this. I know you know this. In each case in the Soviet Union and here, the main primary launch computer command centers in both countries, a couple of craft would fly over the base and shut down their launch computers and then fly away. They didn't even say hello or goodbye. Nothing. Didn't interfere with anything else. And they did it 12 times. Now, if you were the militaries of this planet and you had nuclear weapons and hydrogen bombs, you weren't allowed to test above ground until that was stopped permanently. Then you wouldn't want to tell people that there are races out there coming to this planet after World War II when they needed people to be baby boomers and rebuild a damaged world. 35 countries decided when they discovered extraterrestrials were visiting here. They didn't want the populace to know it. They wanted them to feel safe and rebuild the world. So they classified it. That's where it started. The hidden government, or a cabal as people call it, got more in power politically after World War II because they created, this was their thinking, we have to create a government that our own members can elect, that are not elected by the people, that can maintain a military-industrial complex and all of its extraterrestrial reverse engineering technology and keep it ongoing despite which group may be in political power from 4 or 8 years. And in case some sudden nuclear attack wiped them all out, including the president, something has to have survivability. So this is where the classified area of running a secret government began. And it wasn't just in this country. All of this was influenced by diabolic or tyrant extraterrestrial races. Think about it. If you met with a good extraterrestrial and you were a 5-star general, and suddenly you realize oh my God, there's people coming here with technology we can't even touch. And then you met with a tyrant group, a very arrogant, very haughty group that said, you know, we don't care if you give up your nuclear weapons. We'll give you some of our older extraterrestrial technology for the right to do some genetic sampling of your culture. And, of course, if you were a good man, you would immediately feel chills up the back of your neck and chills down your spine. Your hair would stand up, and you wouldn't want to have anything to do with these guys. Of course you would. Yeah. But if that same person, you're at the beginning of a Cold War, you just got a nuclear bomb, there's a threat of the Soviet Union. They're over in the Soviet Union at the same time, doing the same blackmail technique to the premier. And what they told Eisenhower was this: if you don't sign that treaty with us, we'll go to the Soviet Union, make them the preeminent power on this planet. That scared the heck out of him and his generals, scared the heck out of the premier, because the same group was over there doing the same technique on them at the same moment. That's where this treaty got signed. That's why things went so covertly black or classified, deceptive, after World War II.
And that's actually my understanding as well of how this all came about when I became aware of what is called the Grajeda Treaty. Loosely, that's not a defined term. There's no real wet ink copies of this, but it appears as though after World War II, this whole thing just went into hyperdrive, and we wound up with a shadow government and very dark forces running the nation. Scott, I want to continue that on the other side and wrap around it a little bit into some more of the topics that you and I talked about a few weeks ago. But we're going to take a break at this point, and that'll be about 7 minutes. And then we will come back on the other side with our guest, and we will pick up the subjects that we've been talking about so far, and a whole lot more, including the experiential side of it all with R. Scott Lemriel. The Sayrus Agenda, we will be right back on Off Planet Radio Live. Stay tuned.
Listening to Off Planet Radio at offplanetradio.net and offplanetradio.com.
Sites are offplanetradio.com, offplanetradio.net, where you can hear live streaming on Friday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and youtube.com/offplanetradio. That's where you can find us, and also on Facebook, if you just search Off Planet Radio, we sort of post out the previews of the shows and various little bits. I'm not the world's greatest social networker. I'm basically a recluse who has been forced into the open to do what I do. So sometimes I'm rather reluctant at social networking. Some people have used the S word in that regard. But that's where you can find us, and we do the best to communicate what we have to say, and we continue to just put it out, because I think humanity deserves to have the opportunity to wake up, and I think that's beginning to happen. And our guest tonight speaks very much to that. Second hour, I want to welcome back again our guest, the author of the book, The Sayrus Agenda, R. Scott Lemriel. Welcome back to Off Planet Radio for the second hour.
Thanks, Randy. Glad to be here.
And, you know, a lot of thoughts were coming into my head as we were going through all of that. A little bit first, to let people know about the book, where they can find the book, where they can find you. I think that's important information we should embed here at this point.
Okay. The website I have was really designed, I built it, it's probably 98 pages in that site, but it's not just about the Sayrus Agenda. Primarily is about that now, but I'm going to be publishing the first book of the Parallel Time Trilogy that I wrote before I wrote the Sayrus Agenda in May. And I'm going to be publishing the Sayrus Agenda in a fourth edition in May, with a special section in the back that will have unique techniques people can use to explore the hidden truth that's revealed in each chapter. In other words, a special technique for each chapter. So that's coming up. The book that's out right now, the Sayrus Agenda, is the third edition. And they can get it at any bookstore. They can get it at Amazon. They can get it at barnesandnoble.com. They can get it through my website by clicking on the click here to buy link right on the front index page. And it will take them to Page Publishing in New York. They handle, you know, and then there's links on there to Barnes & Noble or Amazon or for ebooks or trade paperbacks. People can click on them at the site at Page Publishing for this book, and then they can buy the book that way. I don't take credit card orders or deal with anybody's private financial stuff at my website. It's at paralleltime.com. The word parallel and time together, parallelteltime.com. paralleltime.com.
That's actually a really rich website, by the way. I spent actually a fair amount of time flipping through a lot of the things. You have what is effectively a lot of, I would say, like blog articles that you've written on different subjects, mm-hmm. as well as your music and artwork and things like that.
Yeah, the artwork is for characters and scenes out of the Parallel Time Trilogy. There's a lot of them there people can explore. I mean, it's like a movie industry website. It's designed after that. So it's a commercial website in that it's designed to get people to be aware of what I do and be able to get the work, like the Sayrus Agenda, which is a commercially published book. It has to be, or nobody'd ever find out about it. It doesn't sell for a lot of money. It's a 370 or 80 page book, or 358 pages, something like that. I recommend people go to Barnes & Noble, the regular website here, to get it, because they carry it actually stocking in a central warehouse, and they don't play any games. They ship it right away.
Yeah, and you know, Amazon plays these little games, and I've heard this from a lot of authors, and it's become less and less my go-to place to get things if I have another source.
Yeah, because they will tell you the book's out of stock, or they've only got three left, none of which is true, because they don't stock the book. The book is distributed by Ingram, which distributes and prints on demand all the books for 70% of the world's publishers. They ship it out. So Amazon's saying we do this and that. They don't. And it's okay. A lot of people can get it through Amazon just fine, but it may take them longer to get it than through Barnes & Noble, quite frankly.
Mm. Well, we'll put some links up with this podcast so that people can click right from our pages over to your site and go from there and make the appropriate choice.
I want to make sure your listeners know that I am not unreachable. If they contact me, I don't give out my direct email address just randomly, but if they contact me through the link on the lower left side of the main index page, it says visitor comment email contact page. It'll take them to a page where they can send their personal information or email addresses or phone numbers, whatever they want, and ask me to contact them with questions about the book or about anything else they see on the site, and I will respond to them. Once I do that, they will have my direct email, and we can talk with each other. And as long as I'm capable, I will be of benefit to the people who contact me. So I want you to know that, and your listeners to know
You're
that.
Also, Facebook, is that available as well?
Sure. Absolutely. And if you just type in the Say Raise agenda on Facebook, there's a lot there.
Yeah, I went to your Facebook page today. I friended you, but I got a chance to read a little bit, and there's interaction going on there, and I think that's really important. That's the good side of social media, is being able to really, you know, have conversations with people.
Yeah. There's a couple of free videos that were put up on YouTube. The two-part presentation that I conducted in person was flown over to Norway, to Bergen, Norway, to the third UFO Disclosure International Conference they put on there. And those two videos, people can go, say, to Facebook, click on that the Say Raise agenda, and they'll find those links somewhere in there. Or they can just look the Say Raise agenda up on YouTube, and they can watch probably those videos or find those two-part videos. They're free, but they will be able to experience for free what people paid to come in and hear me say and demonstrate for them in Norway. It's quite an unusual event. Maybe 170 people there, and they all, every one of them, experienced a special protection that was put over that hotel, and they took that protection home with them, something that I talked about while I was doing my presentations. They came up to me afterwards to share that with me. So some good things started to happen.
You know, I kind of sense a little bit of extra protection going on with this show tonight. I'm not getting... This show experiences a lot of, I will call it, low-frequency interference from time to time, and that it's phenomenally clean tonight. So whatever you guys are doing up there, keep it up. Thanks, because we need it.
Getting some help from this Ambassador Torellian of the Say Raise, believe it or not, he's far more advanced than the very advanced, spiritually advanced extraterrestrial races out there. That's all I can tell you. They were evolved, they immortalized their physical bodies over a billion years ago, so they're very advanced guys. Most people in the UFO research area still don't know anything about them because they haven't been around even this galaxy for a long time until recently. They're on their return. They're on a return journey to eventually show up here. And that will occur after this Galactic Alliance, benevolent extraterrestrials, have brought about a transformation and landed all over this planet. That's coming.
Well, let me ask you this, Scott. Have we, and I know you and I know kind of the answer to this, but we know that people have had contacts going back, at least in my subjective observation, probably since the 1950s, that many people have reported benevolent interactions, as well as people that have obviously experienced the horrible abduction scenarios and other types of fear-based, but what I'm talking about here is basically benevolent contacts that are occurring, much like you described in the first part of the show, what we call astral or OB experiences, what most people would call unreal experiences, but those experiences are very real. Have they been ongoing for some time?
Yeah, and actually, the higher, more evolved races, not just in the physical universe, but in the higher planes, don't use the astral body to get around, Randy. They use the Atma body, what extraterrestrials call soul, because it's not limited to the laws of the lower planes like astral, physical, causal, and mental. When you move around in the soul body, you're able to work anywhere in the multidimensional universe and go visit the forms you have in those planes and experience whatever you want. But you're not limited to astral travel, which means you can leave this body, find yourself awake in the astral body, and walk around and move in the astral plane, but you can't go outside of it in the astral body. So it's very limiting in that way. They know what this is, that is the real core of their being, that we call soul on earth, that they refer to as the Atma, or the Atom of the Supreme, or the Atom from the source behind and supporting all life. This is something we are, and we've always been this. And when a person's awake in what they really are, then they can move it around and have the pleasure of communicating with and having experiences with beings and races, not only in other worlds, but in higher planes. Now, this is where we're headed. This is our nature. This is who we were meant to be.
Yeah, and later on, as we go through the end of the show tonight, you're going to get some information from Scott that will either help you initiate that or amplify the place where you're at. Scott, I want to draw back to the last, as we were closing out the last segment, we were talking about the implants. let's talk a little bit about the Earth implants and what you know about that as well.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Earth implants, the little chip technologies and pieces of metal and things like that people have found when they were abducted and implanted and the memory occluded. The only way a memory can be occluded from a person is to force the memory into the subconscious area. And it has to be done through a terrorizing image implant put in front of it so that you can't get past the terror to get to the source. It's as simple as that. We talked about it a little bit in the last hour that the actual implant, extraterrestrial or abusive use of technology implants, aren't electronic at all. But the electronic equipment or high developed technology is used to use a carrier wave to implant a stream of holographic images containing sight, sound, smell, taste, tactile, motion, all the qualities and characteristics of anything you would see in this physical life walking around under a forest. And if they're terrorizing images, then they just stream that into and lock it into your electromagnetic field, the energy field around your body that most people aren't even aware of. And what it does is it's set up so that when you try to discover or wake up your higher faculties, this is for many people, till they get stronger over them, and you try to, it's like almost you have a feeling that there's some higher natural ability you have that's just out of your reach, always just out of your reach. When you try to get there, sometimes when you go into deep meditation or at night when you're in the dream state and you're out of your body, you can go beyond these implants and remember much. The difficult part is bringing it back here in the morning when you wake up. This is part of how the implants work to occlude those memories, to keep you from getting to the source of who and what you really are, what you really know, and what you've really already evolved to long ago in this universe and that was taken from you without your consent or awareness. Because that implantation process, when it's done to you, you don't feel it. You don't feel it being done. The difference between that implantation process and the ones that people have experienced that are electronic or chip-natured or crystalline chip in nature were done by a hidden military industrial classified complex that were endeavoring to reverse engineer with our technology controlling devices based upon the extraterrestrials they were working with, the technology they used to implant people, which they don't share with us. They only share with us their less important technology. They keep their prime stuff for themselves. The benevolent extraterrestrials out there are not embarking or in part of any kind of endeavor to keep secret their existence or to keep us from freedom. That's not their game plan. They do have technology that can reverse completely all of this implantation stuff that's going on this planet. To do that openly, they first have to neutralize the hidden government and the elitist that that a certain extraterrestrial group have under their control. They got to work on straightening that up first. At least get it prepared so that when people have more of a massive contact from very benevolent extraterrestrial races who want to help set this place free, they won't be terrorized by the experience. Because right now, if a massive landing of ships took place on this planet and this energy ray I talk about and will talk about came out on this planet, it could transform people to accept this landing and completely be transformed. But the implants remaining them would terrorize them. No matter how strong they are or how evolved they think they are spiritually, they would be triggered into the forefront of their consciousness, and that's the problem. You got to get rid of those artificially created implants first. So what I talk about and why I do this work is to help people utilize a tool I share with them that is not native to this planet, was brought here millions of years ago and kept sacred and secret by master teachers throughout the ages. But those master teachers, Randy, are extraterrestrial. And they're human. Most of the advanced spiritual masters people think about of the little history they do know of this earth come from elsewhere. As did they. Can you imagine what this world would be like if people suddenly remembered all of this within themselves without me having to tell them anything? What that would be like?
Yeah.
That's what's underway.
I want to address something at this point. This is maybe a little off of where we've been, but it jumped into my head as you were talking. It has to do with the reptilians and the fact that they, too, are also cloaked.
You mean by cloaked meaning they're controlled without their will or consent?
Well, what I mean by cloaked is that most people are looking for lizards, but in fact, most of the reptilians are in a human-appearing form.
Oh, there you go. Right, exactly. I know what you're talking about
now.
Do you want me to elaborate on that?
Yeah, would you please?
From my experience, and it's an ongoing experience, it's a daily and nightly ongoing experience, with people that, for me, it's just almost commonplace now to look at the way humans really are in other worlds and how they see us with respect. They don't look down on us. How can they? Most of us are relatives of theirs, have been brought here as political prisoners and been here for thousands, sometimes even millions of years. This history goes back a long ways in galactic history between tyrants and benevolent ETs. Earth is just one planet stuck in the middle of this thing, and it's coming to a head, but not a destructive head like people think. What is it you wanted to know?
The cloaking of the reptilians, basically.
They use a device on their belt buckle. It's probably about the size of a cigarette pack. And when they press it, let's say you're meeting with a president who just got elected, hint, hint, and it's a handler or a particular cabinet member or a national security advisor. They press this thing, and when that guy is in the same room, and this is directed and he's implanted, from then on that person is making decisions about where to head this world that are not his own. Very easy to do. When Eisenhower met with this group, this ambassador of a tyrant race, of course he didn't want to sign a treaty with them. He was no fool. He was not a diabolical monster. He was a good man. This guy pushes a little thing on his belt buckle, and it influences him to make decisions against his better judgment. That's part of it. The other part of it is the blackmail threat that if we don't sign a treaty with them, to get the extraterrestrial technology that Eisenhower and his generals really wanted, of course, extraterrestrial technology to beat any foe on Earth like the Soviets or anyone else if we get threatened. Well, he felt if he signed a treaty with the good guys, the ones he met with previously, that we would be vulnerable to a foreign power, an alien race that might lie to us and then dominate us. Because their requirement, and this is law outside of this solar system, is that we give up all radioactive and nuclear power on this planet. Weapons, radiation, isotopes, everything. For that, they would come down here, give us their technology, give us their spacecraft, invite us to be a member of the Galactic Alliance, and your kids would go on field trips to other planets. That could have been going on since Eisenhower's time. They were frightened. They felt uplifted by these beings, but it scared them. They just acquired an atomic and then hydrogen bomb, and they would have to give it up. How would Eisenhower convince the Soviets to do that? Well, he couldn't, could he?
But it feels to me like this whole thing was a contrivance. In fact, the more I've looked at history, even going back thousands and thousands of years, it looks like we've been living in a constant situation that was contrived to keep us in stress and turmoil. Basically what you described earlier as the experiment called evil, or what I call separation from source. And that really we've just constantly fallen prey to the same devices over and over again, which is to keep us separated, keep us at war, keep us locked into the material plane. Is part of what we're going to experience in awakening going to help to, well, help us to jettison some of that, those perceptions that we labor under now?
Those are artificially implanted perceptions, so yes, they're going to be gone. Underneath that is the inherent ability to plug into the universe and know truth for yourself, with certainty of knowing, with confidence, without doubt. That's a normal human being. Are people on Earth normal, in your view?
No.
No.
Most but even just saying that makes you feel like, pardon the expression here, an alien, because most people do accept the common consensus of so-called reality. So people like us are still actually considered freaks.
Well, it's getting less and less that way, isn't it?
It is, it is.
To answer your question about the cover, one of the other devices they wear on their belt buckle simply bends light tightly around their bodies. And it shapes it into a form. If you're a reptilian, you're 9 feet tall and weigh 380 pounds and could kill any human just with one blow. You morph into looking like you're 6 feet tall, lanky, and a human with striking, penetrating eyes, the one thing that gives them away. But if they were in the White House, for instance, or in the Soviet Union or in Russia or China or anywhere, and former Soviet Union, now Russia, I mean, and they would appear human to the people around them. The only thing that gives them away is their unabiding lust to devour you or kill you on the spot. So they could be smiling at and shaking your hand, but the hair would stand up on the back of your head and you would just want to run.
Yeah.
They could be looking at you, but the eyes, the one thing they can't hide is the emotional expression behind the eyes. That's the one thing that gives them away. And it's easy to spot.
For basically kind of like that Eagles song, Your Lion Eyes.
Yeah. If you saw one, you'd know right away, Randy. I have no concern about
that.
Yeah,
I suspect I have.
And the likelihood is they will not cross your path again after this show, because the hue that I'm going to share with people and how to access purposefully hidden truth safely is kinetic. It connects through the shows. It connects in person with you, with your listeners. It's going to begin to unravel things that have been keeping them held back in their lives. And if they begin to practice, because it develops strength of character and strength of you, the Atma, over anything negative, which we actually have power over, but we don't believe we do. That's the problem. That's an implant. When you begin to understand what's really going on and can accept your responsibility in it, things unravel very quickly, and people from out of town can contact you. Because when we start to do this special vibratory word, you're actually telepathically sending out an SOS. They hear it. They hear it in their ships. They hear it in other dimensions. They tune into this and use it themselves to keep from acquiring anything subconscious, because they don't have subconscious minds at all. And we're not meant to either.
Right. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, too. This whole... Sigmund Freud made a major industry out of the subconscious mind, and humans have accepted the fact. I call it split consciousness or the split mind, because it seems to me like, why would you keep secrets from yourself? Why would you compartmentalize not only just mental processes, but actually entire subpersonalities in a part of your brain that you can only access under special conditions?
You wouldn't, but implants create that split artificially. Also, what the implants do, and this is a primary method of tyrant control over masses on any world, in any plane or dimension, if the tyrants have an upper hand, simply this. They compel you to use the great gift, the benevolent divine gift, of your ability to see into the multidimensional creation while you're sitting here talking to me, and see it through your inner or third eye, through the pineal gland, the center of the brain. If they can occlude that or get you to think in two directions at once, positive and negative, be loving and creative towards your future and your family, and then be terrorized at the same time, and imagine a diabolical future coming your way, which most people do.
Yeah.
It splits them down the middle. And they don't have the power over this negative force they normally should have, because it's diluted in two ways. And it creates what people call karma. It creates their own energy field from the universe coming through them and manifesting two things which neutralize each other. Karma is an illusion. It's created to keep people incarnating stupid, not just on Earth, but in the lower system. So that's something else that the Say Race agenda brings to the table for the first time. And it's not my agenda, first of all. I'm the author of the book, but I didn't create this. I helped co-create it as one of the fellow co-creators with these beings. But I'm not the great power that works in the universe to make these changes in people. That's something altogether beyond me But people have the ability to consciously be aware of and communicate with this force. That's our native state. That's how we're meant to be. So if you can keep a person, as you wisely said earlier, occluded or shut down from contacting this source, you can control them. Or you can manipulate what they think or how they feel emotionally. Emotion is the power that fuels the imagination to bring things into manifestation. And if you can get people feeling terrible and serene at the same time, you can really control them. So the real trick here is to get the two halves of the imagination refocused back into, you remember that yin and yang symbol with the two teardrops circling around each other?
Sure, sure.
With inside a circle, in balance, there's a pure energy that we're made of, and it's what the real nature of the energy that exists in the universe is that supports all life. And it runs through this positive and negative current stream that splits off this one current. Once it passes below the etheric plane, below the void of the Buddhists, and it splits into a dual current. That's just to manifest material things. But once it does that, if you're operating as a whole being who and you know how to use your creative imagination in the one way it's meant to be used, then you imagine only those things and put the emotion behind it, the passion behind it, that will be of creative, that will you bring into creation that will only be of benefit to all life everywhere, not just on your planet. Everywhere. That's the normal function of a normal human being. They're meant to become co-creators or gods amongst the great one, one day. That's our destiny, and it's bright indeed, really bright. So the hue, which we're going to be working with, begins to break down anything or dissolve anything or bring to the surface anything which might be preventing you from reconnecting with your natural ability to know the source, yourself, and how to circumnavigate the multidimensional universe. We're meant to be free beings in that, but only if we can be trusted with that freedom. You can't be trusted with that freedom if you go out in the universe and create havoc. You might be sending out a beautiful thing you want to have save a planet, but subconsciously implants are driving some of your energy to destroy it at the same time. That's a problem. Tyrants know this. So even their own consciousness is split. But when they get in power in an elite group and it's being manipulated by extraterrestrials who are more clever than they will ever be in being diabolical, then you can get them to do what you want to do, like chemtrail spraying, blowing up Fukushima. Who knows why they did that? That catastrophe was 100 times worse than Chernobyl, which killed, what, 25 million people?
Yeah.
A lot of people died.
Yeah, over time, yeah.
And it didn't explode. It imploded. It melted inward. These four plants in Fukushima blew rods 15 feet high out in the atmosphere. Radioactive rods. That should have killed everybody in Japan. Part of China, Russia, Western United States, at least. It didn't. It still hasn't, and it's not going to. At one point last year, the radiation coming ashore and in the air from Fukushima was measured and tested in a lab, measured at 60 rads and rising. I think it was about 6 months ago now, a friend of mine in Washington State had tested the waters and had it sent to a lab to know what it was off the Washington coast where much of this was coming, along in California as well, Alaska, South America. And then we had a discussion. We were talking about the series agenda and this kind of thing and friends from out of town. He went out and measured the waters again. The radiation was gone completely. It was even announced in California news the radiation was gone because the governor got behind it. But it didn't go nationwide, oddly enough. So the radiation that should have done what it was intended to do was foiled. It has been intervened with and neutralized, but not by people on this earth. So that's one of the things I wanted to share with you and your audience tonight as a practical example of things we know we've tested. And this friend in Washington who's a radio show host himself has a program called Out of This World. I've been on it a number of times as a friend of mine. I'll put him in touch with you, and he can send you the, if you like, he can send you the lab reports of what is measured in chemtrail spraying. How dangerous it is and what it does. And he's even photographed these pilots with a telephoto lens. He can see them right up close, taking these four prop jet planes off of this converted commercial airport to Air Force run. And they fly these things and dump them on a certain people out in Moses Lake, 3 hours east of Washington, of Seattle, two or three times a week. And it causes a great amount of respiratory problems and a lot of problems. And they're doing it in part to create a kind of a scalar harp-type weapon system around the planet. It connects frequencies. But the chemicals they're using are also harmful to human beings. So if in a way, it's almost like terraforming.
But that was a term I was going to use, yeah.
The content measured in the waters there and in the air and in the soil and in the fish are 8,000 times higher than they should be for safe levels. And there's a high particular aluminum elements in it. What I don't know, they call it powdered aluminum. It's very fine. I don't know what the right term is for it.
It's aluminous oxide, technically. But yeah.
Exactly. And strontium and barium, which are man-made, and some other things.
And biological substances as well.
So he has the test results. He's done independently in labs in Chicago and elsewhere about that. And we ran them by a scientist who could analyze the potential of what they're doing with this. And so you may want some of those. And if you like, I'll put him in touch with him. He can send you those documents.
Yeah. That's always useful because that's a subject I like to cover from time to time. And people that are doing on the ground work with that, that's real useful data.
And he is, and I love to put him in touch with
you. Go ahead and give his name and his show as well. I mean,
Oh, his name's Ted Marr. His show is called Out of This World. He airs from 2 to 4 p.m. every Friday. It's a live radio show aired out of Bellevue, out of not talk radio, alternative talk radio.
Okay.
11:50 a.m. And that's aired just into about 3.5 million people in the Seattle, greater Seattle area. And then it's podcast as well. And if you go to his website at outofthisworld1150.com, you can hear all the past shows I've been on there. And he has them archived. And they're free because he's not yet quite syndicated. So, and I'll put him in touch with you because he had personal experience of being dumped on by chemtrails. What I've helped him with a lot is to get over the anger and frustration about it.
Doesn't
get caught in that.
See, that's... And I told you the story about 2007 when I literally photographed and recorded chemtrails in seven different states from southern Oregon to Tennessee to Virginia to Pennsylvania to New York State. And how pissed off I was. I mean, literally, almost just screaming into the sky, trying to get these bastards to stop doing this because it feels like we're bugs being sprayed. But I also have come to recognize that my anger is not useful. But what is useful is to get the information out.
Yeah. Yeah, he had that problem and it was distorting his life.
Mm-hmm. Know that
the reason,
well.
The reason I'm free from that is because of help I've received from benevolent beings elsewhere, period. They want to do this for everybody on this planet and for the beings off-world, even the tyrants. Don't misunderstand me. These are highly evolved beings. They don't work from revenge and anger and hatred, because when you do, the implants have control and they get stimulated and have stronger control. So one of the things tyrants do is to reveal what they're doing just enough to piss you off, make you feel powerless. Here's the thing. The human beings collectively on this earth right now do not have enough awakened higher faculties to really topple the tyrants at all. The tyrants know that. So the Sayre's agenda and what I do was put out there as a pilot kind of prototype program or channel to begin to bring into the awareness of people what has significantly changed out in the universe. That is focused eventually on changing this place, finally, because it's never been done before in galactic history in the way it's going to be done. This is a first. That's another important thing. And the only way people are going to find this out is by applying what I will share with them and how to go about doing it safely, and then experience for themselves the protection I talk about that comes with its use, period. No matter what what government's in power, what tyrants are here. That frustrates the hell out of them because they cannot affect people doing this. And they get a certain protection. And it's increasing worldwide. And it's going to ramp up considerably. So,
as this ramps up, though, a question. As this ramps up, are we kind of in a protracted battle where the bad guys from out of town kind of know the gig is up, and they're trying furiously right now to up their game, even as people are waking up? Is that kind of what we're seeing right now?
Well, what you're seeing is that because the implementation of this transformation is not openly conducted yet in every corner of the world, worldwide, in massive numbers, you do get tyrants who will do things like Fukushima or a chemtrail, and they'll continue to do what they're doing because they cannot help themselves from doing it, first of all. They have no choice in the matter. The hidden cabal on this planet has no choice whatsoever, no free will whatsoever in what they're doing now. Some of them realize it. Many of them don't. That's a real problem. Because the direction they're being motivated to go in, from galactic history on other worlds where this has happened, usually ends up in either the destruction of the populace of that planet or the entire planet itself. That is something that races outside have made a decision they will not allow to happen again, because they stood by and let it happen when this planet Maldek blew up 6 million years ago, which is now an asteroid belt in our solar system. That's how it got there. It wasn't formed at the beginning of the solar system, any of that nonsense. Not at all. There's so much.
I haven't bought that one for a long time.
That's theory. Everybody talks about theory and what they believe. But what do they really talk about that they really know with certainty, without doubt? You don't hear anybody talk that way, you know, because they're afraid. They're frightened. They're frightened they might make a mistake or they'll put their career online. And if you're a certain government employee or in the commercial airline industry or other things, you do put your job on the line by voicing things you know. Those things are easily manipulated. But there's ways around that. The way I know to get around any of that today, from my own experience, and it's deep, 35 years of it, and anyway, is working with this special vibratory word hue, which was brought into existence at the beginning of creation. It's like the original word they talk about in the Bible. It wasn't a spoken word. It was a vibration. And people have the ability to connect to it through the pineal gland in the center of the brain. It's a gland about the size of the end of your thumb. The Vatican keeps this classified. They know about it. One vein in, one vein out, with the strongest blood flow of any part of the body for its size. Clear liquid. In it are rods and cones. Rods and cones like the ones you have in your physical eyes. And it's connected to the optic nerve along with the pituitary. The glands that secrete melatonin and serotonin to put your body in a trance state to keep it running on automatic while you're out every night. This is a great secret that people leave their bodies every night and don't remember it or don't believe in it or it's dreams. Why, that's unreal. It's not like my solid life here.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
It's more real and more concrete than here. People need to have that switched around, that whole perspective. They're like an atma that's been inverted upside down and put in a body, so they can't see things clearly. These different rods and cones in that gland are set to precise frequencies. And if you tune into one through the creative imagination, you're actually looking into the multidimensional universe at that place that that particular frequency connects you to. And if, and on some level, human beings have a roadmap ingrained in their atma that tells them how to circumnavigate the universe. When it's awoken, they work through the pineal gland to see truth or hidden truth or truth on another planet or truth in another dimension. While they're reading a book or talking to someone, it's called bilocation. On planet, some places on the planet, they call it remote viewing.
Right.
It's deeper than that. When you imagine something, people think that they're imagining it with the brain matter in their skull. This is not true. Your brain does not imagine. It's a multi-billion neuron circuited system coordinated through the pineal gland that you, the Atma, can direct different functions from higher bodies like emotion and mental stuff from higher planes and run this thing here and have experience. The circuitry in the brain is for learning how to speak and the coordination of the body and walking and running all the systems and like physical memory and things like this. But the mind and the emotions that you feel aren't native to what's between your ears. If a person gets Alzheimer's, this means that their astral form that they're living a life with simultaneously in the next plane up as an individual being, it lives thousands of years and it's gotten old and it's dying. The link between the emotional body and therefore the link from the mental plane above it is severed. The person becomes like a vegetable. People are trying to figure out what the disease is in the brain. They don't know. But that's because their science doesn't go where it should into the multidimensional universe. Advanced scientists in other worlds know about the laws and how to work, how they work in parallel dimensions. Is over 100. There's 144. It's an interesting number.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Parallel dimensions before you get to the lower astral plane. And people in spacefaring craft, the higher ones, can traverse in craft between all those parallels and all the worlds in them. Still physical. Different rates and higher rates of matter. Time rate in each plane is at a different rate. Change the time rate, you're in another plane. Change the time rate of that matter, you're in another plane. And so forth and so on. We as beings, all of us, you, me, the listeners, have the ability, or should have the ability, or did have the ability to know this stuff. People say, you can't know God, you can't know the Supreme Being. Well, yes, you can. And you have the ability to comprehend what it is and what your relationship is to it. But like you wisely said earlier, if you can sever that connection or cause people to believe they don't have it or that they don't have power over any form of negativity, then through the split in their imagination, they're giving their power away to tyrants to run them, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what happens. The hue we're going, I want to demonstrate for you. And we did this when we talked privately, you know, a week or so ago before the show.
Yes, we did. And it's, I got to say, you know, I have a jump in the audience right now, but this is awesome.
The hue, remember this. I will tell this and say this to people, but I say, do not take my word for it. I don't expect you to. I know the implants are running people here. They aren't to blame. Really, they're not. The hue begins to open a door that a certain protection comes with it that connects you to the primordial source behind all life directly. That is not connecting you to the psychic area in the lower planes or anything positive or negative. It's connecting you to something beyond that of which you are comprised as an energy being. Exactly the same substance, no different. And it begins to bring that awareness of who you are to the surface of your being in all the bodies you have in all the planes. It begins the process of bringing to the surface in a safe way, in a careful way, in a loving way, all that was taken from you without your permission or awareness at some point. Some of this stuff was done to people tens of thousands of years ago, Randy. When they were brought here in different scenarios on Earth, even millions of years ago, in different colonizations of this planet, when tyrants had an upper hand or didn't, and they were fighting between different factions that had different pockets here, always breaking a treaty just short of war, shooting down a ship. That's how we got our craft originally, the one at Roswell. It was shot down, but not by us. Think about what I said. Shot down, but not by us. Who shot it down? Why?
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Okay. The beings that were in that craft are under the control of a more diabolical tyrant race, and they were doing some nasty things to people, or attempting to, and they were caught breaking that treaty. Better to be lose a pilot, and back then they did shoot down these craft, catching them breaking this treaty, breaking a treaty that would put them in control of this planet, or their attempt to control it. That happened quite a few times. Other times under treaty with a tyrant race, as we explained it happened under Eisenhower, they were given to us to reverse engineer to play with. But remember, we were always only given their more outdated technology, never their primary stuff, never. The benevolent ETs would have given us all of it freely. They could neutralize the radioactive toxins and poisons and germs and cancers on this planet in a day, worldwide.
And as I understand it, in some cases, they actually have done that. Is that correct?
You wouldn't hear about it on the news, would you? Not yet.
No. I have other sources.
If you did try to talk about it on anything prime time, how far would you get?
Well, prime time can't even talk about the problem, much less a solution.
No, because their military-industrial complex, after this treaty was signed, began to buy up all of ABC, NBC, and CBS and the major studio networks long ago through hidden dummy corporations and all kinds of things. Worldwide Collective did that. It's a done deal. It's not futuristic. The implantation and dumbing down of the people of this planet is done. It's not to be done. They did it. What needs to happen now is it needs to be reversed in a benevolent way. And that's what's underway with the Sayre's agenda, with this race. They're in the very highly evolved collective of benevolent races that work together on their world systems in such a vast array of, you just can't believe it, that many world systems could work together in peace and harmony. They don't have money. Money is created by tyrants to suppress masses who must need it.
Absolutely.
It is not, and you know this, there's no value to it. It's artificial. It's completely artificially created by those who control money and the printing of money to control people, not just on Earth. Tyrant world systems also use forms of money to control their races. That means, and this is one of the deeper secrets in the Sayre's agenda, the entire royal bloodline situation on this planet that has ever occurred in the history of this planet, which goes far back before Mesopotamia and Samaria and Egypt and all that, before the biblical flood of Moses, in millions of years of cultures that have been on this planet and come and gone, that people have no idea existed, like Atlantis, and before that, Lemuria, and ones before that, which were all extraterrestrial colonies anyway. And the people that lived there came from elsewhere. Human beings didn't evolve here. One of the biggest traps perpetrated for Solar, the Atmon, this particular planet, is to get people to believe we have a history of about 10,000 years.
Right.
And then get them to find a skeleton that's 20 feet tall with a huge cranium, you know, five times the size of a human, and then have it disclosed by archaeologists who are then classified. All you have to do with anything that's found or discovered on this planet to keep it from the people is to classify it under the National Security Act.
And send it to the Smithsonian. That will work real well.
Yeah. Well, they never get it there either. It's just taken somewhere and disappears. Anything that says human beings came here 50 million years ago after dinosaurs died out, which they did, is the most highly classified thing there is. 38th level. It's more classified than the hydrogen bomb or beam weaponry from outer space. Anything that would set people free to understand that we are living amongst primarily the majority of benevolent races out there is classified deeply. They don't want you knowing that, because if you do, you can no longer be controlled by them. This scares them. And their control of this is slipping, and I think you know that. Yes, they're still chemtrailing. We're looking for the Sayres and some other people to mark a certain demarcation point when they finally get an order out worldwide, stop chemtrail spraying. The thing about neutralizing the radiation from Fukushima to keep it from killing millions it should have, that's done. There's more to come. There's a lot more to come. So when people do this hue, if I may demonstrate, here's what it does. And here's the only thing that it can do. It cannot and is not designed to connect anyone to anything negative, negative technology, covert lying weasels, or anything psychic that can be misinterpreted, misunderstood. It connects you in a conscious way over time to the core of your being, that which is pure. that's part of the divine, part of the center source behind all life. And it opens and builds a bridge between that center and your conscious awareness. Anything that's in the way of that begins to be undone. This means that when we do the hue, we're actually telepathically sending out an SOS to connect with beings who hear this and tune into it. It's a pure frequency. It cannot be penetrated by technology or negative beings. They've tried. They always try. They've never been able to access it. So when people do it, they're actually saying, I would like to meet the master teachers who are the counselors for the Galactic Alliance, the benevolent extraterrestrial races, and beings in the higher dimensions. And I would like to have them cross my path in one way or another in a safe, benevolent manner. I would like to have the experience of having myself returned, all that I really am. This is what we're doing when we hue. It's the greatest prayer, because you don't put any form into that prayer. You can use techniques about seeing and experiencing beings and events through it. But the first step is to connect in a pure way to the core of your being that is below that subconscious mind, as a metaphor. And then experience over time the safety, protection, and events that happen in your life, because they begin to set the person free. I can't prove it other than to say if people try it and work with it for a while, they will have profound experiences. So here's how it's done. If you're alone somewhere where you can be undisturbed for 10 or 15 minutes, maybe preferably at night before you go to sleep, as a suggestion, it can be done in the daytime too. First, imagine someone or something you love. No matter how crazy your life is, if you've got a disease or you're broke or something's happening or there's a battle going on outside your front door, you just imagine someone or something you love, you have gratitude for. It could be your cat, your dog, your son, your wife, a relative, a thing, doesn't matter. And then send out this vibration. And you'll notice when you do it, it vibrates only the head upward. Or basically, it vibrates the pineal gland in the center of the brain. And it begins to clear the liquid out in it, which is calcified or milky. So you can see and operate through it clearly. It's through this door that people leave their bodies, primarily through this door. When they go to sleep at night, they leave their body. This gland secretes serotonin and melatonin. It's the controlling gland of the body. And it puts the body in a trance-like state we call sleep. The reason you're not aware of anything when you're asleep is because you're not there. The body's put on automatic to breathe and maintain a heart rate while you're out. That's what it's for, in one aspect of it. So you do this, and you send out the hue in a comfortable tone of your choice, in a long exhale of your breath. Take a couple of deep, relaxing breaths. And in your imagination, put all concerns you have for your present life and anybody in it and your future on a shelf just for this time. You always pick it up after you're done. Just put it aside for now. And then send out this word. You. Briefly pause between each one just to look and listen at what's taking place. I recommend that people send this statement out into the hue. It's constructed in a certain way. And they say this: safely show me purposefully hidden truth on a grand cosmic multidimensional scale and the much greater knowing of the expansive love within it. And then continue to hue 10 or 15 minutes, and you'll notice a phenomena. You'll just stop. It just happens. You'll just come to a stop. unless you're having profound experience, then continue the exercise. Otherwise, stop it. Feel the way you feel and how uplifted you feel. And then tell yourself, you will remember ever so much more about where you go and what you do while you're out of your body, while your body is asleep at night. When you awaken in the morning, you will bring back a little more. Then go to sleep without wanting or needing an experience, either way, and put all your cares on a shelf somewhere and go to sleep. And if you do that for 2 weeks to 30 days for an adult, shifts in the subconscious begin to happen. And this is preliminary stuff to help get a person prepared for direct contact and for the experience of having the implants completely removed at some point by friends from out of town, because they can do it. They know how to do it. This has been around for millions of years. It's old hat to them. It may be a real shocker to us, but it's not a big deal to them. They can also be done when you're on a bus or driving your car and you're with people you don't want to hear this, or they wouldn't understand. So then you just do it silently in your imagination, in your mind. It works the same whether it's out loud or silent. It will still work. And the protective experiences come along with this. I mean, they become unmistakable. You see them. And then at some point, the individual will have more contact experiences. These are highly evolved extraterrestrial races, benevolent, loving, kind, not trapped. They don't have subconscious minds. And they have master teachers that mentor them. And you can meet them if you want to. These kinds of things can take place through the hue, definitely. I hope that helps.
Well, I can tell you that it does. And I can tell you that if the listeners will just take this audio file, I'm tempted to do this, and just take that audio segment of the audio file and work with it. Just work with the vibration, with the frequency, and the details that Scott laid out, and that you will probably, in very short order, I've been working with this since Scott and I talked, 2 weeks ago?
It was a week ago, even.
And I got to tell you that it's opening things up. And it is not only that, I almost get like a high every time I do it. When you were doing it sitting here, I could just feel myself kind of lift. And so there's a real positive aspect to this, that when we begin to lift our own vibrational levels, are we not creating a radiant state that then kind of merges out into, I guess you could be almost like the 100th monkey thing.
Exactly. That's exactly right, Randy. What you're doing is you, of your own true real free will, despite the implants you know are there that can terrorize you, try to get you off track, it begins to put you in charge over them until they can be safely removed. That's the best way I have of putting it. It does this by waking up your higher faculties despite what tyrants want or don't want. And this is because the protection of masterful teacher beings and masterful, highly evolved, spiritual and technologically advanced human and humanoid and other races out there that we actually are related to are involved now in massive numbers outside this planet. They're in shielded ships. The reptilians and others can't even detect them if they don't want them to. And they're doing things now that have never been done out in the universe. They're doing them out in the universe, and they're about to do it to this planet. In some places, like you said, it's already underway. This radio shows an example of how this is beginning to unfold. This rabbit hole goes so much deeper than what we could talk about in one or two radio shows. But when people begin to explore the hue and the protection it provides and how to do it, they begin to co-creatively send out. They co-create this. It's not their co-workers. They're co-creators as divine beings, as beings that once were very evolved and had it taken from through one series of scenarios or another in ancient history, off-world and other planets and here. So it goes deeper than this lifetime. The implants go deeper than one lifetime. the shutting down of the genomes and the DNA goes deeper than just on this planet. It's been done to people in other worlds, and they were brought here that way. So everything goes off-world. Every secret people are looking for, every mystery to hidden truth, every answer they're seeking lies as a potential awakening experience in their own being, because the nature and structure of their being, we call soul of the Atma, is designed to be able to circumnavigate the multidimensional universe. There are many higher dimensions, and there are many higher dimensions beyond the void of the Buddhists. They think it's, many of them think that's the end. It's not. I've been there. There are many higher dimensions above that that don't work on karma, that don't have positive and negative energy in them at all. It's a prototype area. New things that are brought into the lower dimensions like this one that can help solve the great problem, the greater problem of the source or the supreme being or prime creator, are prototype tested there and sent down as a vibration into the lower dimensions. And if it comes back true, necessary, and kind, then it's implemented. And it takes a long time up there before something new is ever implemented. But this is where this new ray came from, Randy, that was presented to the Seyres, and what it did to them, and how it came into creation, and what it's set to do, to retire evil as an experiment and replace it with something that's infinitely more effective in helping people return to the source as conscious, fully capable, trustworthy co-creators. We're destined to help create and run greater manifestations in creation that now exist. And this is part of what our destiny is. That's why we're going through all this crazy suffering and nutty stuff down here. It's meant to be temporary. Evil is an artificially created emotion that was never meant to last. It is erasable in one's experience anyway. The pleasurable experiences are not erasable. The negative ones are. That's very important to understand. They're not meant to last. So the Seyres agenda is an agenda to begin to unravel the suppression that has taken place among beings on a number of dimensional levels and planets, including Earth. That's the best way I have of putting it. And I can only share this from my own experience with people about what it does and how the safety goes with it, because if I didn't know this to be true, I wouldn't be sharing it. If you like, Randy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still, yeah, sorry. I hit the cough button for a minute. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, we get caught up in our conscious minds again. You know, we're suffering this horrible disease called the subconscious. And something as simple as the hue may seem foolish or overly simple, but see, we complexify everything, and we want to rationalize it out, and we want an elaborate scheme rather than looking at something that's so simple and so effective. And I'm sharing this because I felt that way the first couple times I did it. I'm like, this is too simple. This is too easy. Okay, implants kicking in. And see, once you start to do the hue, now there's an awareness about the implants kicking in. You almost begin to self-monitor.
Exactly. That's my point. Exactly. You begin to gain power back over them, despite what was done to you on what level. Ultimately, you have always had the power to come out of this hypnotic trance state down here and recall your lives and the many lives in other worlds and in the dimensions of the universe. The hue is designed to do that. It's simple because it connects the pure, simple center of your being to the pure, simple center of the source behind all life in two ways. One, it makes you aware that you're made of the same energy as that source, identical in every way on a small scale. And then that is eternally survivable energy, spherical-shaped being. And you run bodies at different times of different forms on different planes to gain experience. When you come to a point where the hue crosses your path, you're culminating millions, maybe billions of lives of experience into a culminating lifetime. that is designed to bring you into co-creative harmony with the source on a conscious level. And then you step up to bat. What I mean by helping the source solve the greater problems it has, how do you make the lower dimensions, which are fraught with negativity, divine images or mirror planes of the upper worlds above the void? That's the bigger problem of the prime creator. And we're meant to help solve that problem with it by going back and delivering our experiences upon our return. I've been to that source, Randy, and I've done this. And I'm not more special than anyone else, because everybody I know of that exists on any planet has the ability to do this. So how could I place myself above them? I couldn't. It's impossible. We're not. But some of us know or are aware of this, maybe a little before others. Our job then becomes to make certain others become aware of it. And what other greater job is there in the universe?
That's it.
Not that's I. it.
That's what we're doing here.
That's what we're doing right now.
Yep.
If you'd like, I could send out this you 5 times. That will represent what we call the soul plane or Atma plane, above the void of the Buddhists, and help people connect there, outside in freedom, because then they're bringing that consciousness that's free of all this and always has been into their physical life, basically.
I think that's a great idea.
I'm going to do it 5 times. I'm going to pause briefly between each one. Here we go. You is what is actually happening when we do this. A message, one that only the Atma or soul knows, is being sent out to the source of life through all these wondrous, majestic beings, friends from out of town, extraterrestrials, masters, master teachers, who tune into this and hear you doing it. And they begin to manifest their presence with your permission, safely, and in an uplifting way into your life. The events, circumstances, materials, and experiences anyone needs to have this awoken and these implants gone begins through this process. And once it's begun, it is irreversible. Remember, there's always a protection, very, very special protection that people doing it will experience for themselves, that goes along with its use, especially now on Earth, more than has ever been provided before.
There you go. That is the transmission off planet tonight to the people of Terra, as you're hearing this message worldwide now, in the future, or even reverberating out into the past. I think this transmission has been superb in setting the stage for what's coming. And Scott, I want to thank you for coming on tonight, for sharing, for being gracious, and for doing what you're doing right now.
My pleasure. That's why I do what I do it. It's for the benefit of the people who listen. My benefit, yours, and all your listeners. It's for the benefit of the people on Earth. It's for the benefit of the tyrant races and the benevolent races. It's for everyone's benefit. That's where I come from with it. The book, if they want to explore this, is available at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or through the website at paralleltime.com. It's not really expensive. They can get it an ebook or trade paperback. And then they can begin to explore this stuff. And they can use this show, the presentations in Norway, the ones on Out of This World radio show, anything they hear where I demonstrate this, to follow it if they want, or to utilize as an example for them to have their own experience. It's important that the wisdom and the knowing wake up in them. It's not important for them to follow me around or that because they might think I'm wise. It's important that they have this woken in them. That's why I do it. That's the only reason I do it.
Yeah. The time for viewers is over. It's time for the experiential impartation of knowledge and awakening, and that's what we've been doing tonight. We don't have guests lined up yet for next week, but keep an eye on the website. Don't forget to please help our friend George Ann Hughes in her time of need. We're sending her all kinds of healing things right now. We expect her to fully recover and share her story, because I don't think she's intended to leave this planet just yet. Links will be up. This show will be up offplanetradio.com. This has been a rather unique edition of Off Planet Radio. I'm Randy Moggins. The truth is out there. It's inside you. It's inside the hue. We'll be back again with another show very soon. Good night.